headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and build and create actual, real, amazing relationships. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. It's a free call at 888-825-5225, 888-825-5225. Renee starts off this hour from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Renee, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. It's nice to talk to you and Ken.
You too. What's up?
Well, I'm calling because we're baby steppers, and so my husband and I are on baby step 7, and we were planning to get land from my relative. He was going to gift us a piece of land next to our current property, and he since changed his mind. He's not going to gift us the land any longer. He wants to charge us $60,000 for the lot. Now, our only problem is he's only told us that in 30 days ago, and we are not prepared for that. We don't have the money. We don't have the cash. And so we're looking, because it's family land that's been in the family since the 60s, and it's currently next to our current property, and we're concerned that we would like to build maybe next to us at some point, or we're not, at least not keep a home from another home from being built. And so we wanted to know, like, should we take out a loan? And if so, like, I don't really want to take out a loan, but I don't want to also lose this family land. And it's now or never. He's listing it tomorrow. And so we're looking at taking out a HELOC on our current home. And we do own our current home.
You don't have any money?
No savings. We just completed your plan here in January.
Oh, so you just paid off the house in January?
Yes.
And you don't have any money in retirement investing at all?
We do. We are doing our 15%, and it's more because we obviously reached baby step 7. So mm-hmm. we're doing.
How much is in your emergency
30%.
Fund?
12,000.
Okay. What's your household income?
About $70,000.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's inconsiderate on his part.
You are kidding.
Must be your husband's side of the family.
Unfortunately, it's mine.
Oh! Have you tried knocking a noggin on him? Knocking a knot on his noggin.
We've tried. We've tried offering better deals. We've tried offering 50 instead of 60. We've tried everything we could think of. Would you make us let
what
us make?
What
you
in
know,
the world happened? He went from
year.
Giving it to you to selling it out from under you.
Cancer. So he's had cancer for at least the last 10 years. He has lung and leukemia. And
he's trying to get it cleaned up for his estate.
He says the medical bills are expensive.
Oh, he's trying to pay medical bills.
Yes. And his financial advisor has advised him not to pull from his investments, obviously because the market's down, to pay those medical bills. And he's well off because my own father passed, and so he received the rest of the inheritance from my grandparents.
Oh, then your dad's portion didn't pass through to you?
No.
That's weird. Okay. Well, I've asked every question I can think of. I don't borrow money, and I don't like being jerked around into deals that aren't on my timing. So I have a tendency to walk away from this kind of thing, mainly because I'm just so rebellious. And sometimes I do it to my own detriment. I have regretted it before. And so I'm trying to be a little bit even keel, because I'm pretty ticked at your little uncle right now. He's got the money to pay his medical.
So
he does not need money to pay his medical bills. Okay, he's got the money to pay his medical bills. and his medical bills aren't that much. He's got insurance. It's not even $60,000.
Right.
And he's got plenty of money. And if he pulled $10,000 out of his stupid investments, it wouldn't kill him. In spite of the fact the market's down, I wouldn't pull it out because the market's down, but I would pull it out before I broke my word to my niece. So,
well, the other benefit for him is that there's another lot next to it, and he's going to be selling it. So it will go on the market tomorrow, and he will be able to sell that. And he can get whatever, you know, whatever.
How big is the lot?
From the realist, it's about 3/4 acre.
Okay.
So it's not huge, but there's sewer connection available.
So let's talk about it from two different perspectives then, all right? Number one, Dave and Sharon Ramsey don't borrow money. And so we would have to just pass, hard pass. We don't have the money, we don't have a place to get the money. Without borrowing it, we'd have to hard pass because I just don't borrow money. And once I've gotten my home paid off and I'm baby step 7, the chances of me going back in debt, that would be like throwing up a little bit in my mouth. I couldn't do it.
But that's how we feel.
You know, and so I would just say, you should have kept your word to me, and I'm sorry you've got cancer, but I'm also sorry you don't have integrity. And I'd be checking that box and moving on. Now, having said that, if you go get a home equity loan for $60,000 and you pay it off over the next 2 years and you're 100% debt free and you've got this lot and you've got a buffer, the story still ends excellently. You know, you're going to be just fine. You're not going to keep that debt forever. It's not going to break you. You could pay it off in what? You could pay it off in 2 years, really, couldn't you?
Well, when we did the math, it was more like 4.
Yeah, that's not good enough. You need to do it in 3. Max.
Yeah.
Maximum of 3.
I'd
rather you do it in 2. Because this is almost like, you know, I don't like home equity loans. I don't like any of this. But it is a singular piece of property. It's not a nice lot that you found across town. It's a singular piece of property that's family dirt. It's next door to you. It gives you buffer and so on. But even the other side of that, you're still going to have a house.
Right.
Yeah, so you're not got $120,000, right?
No. we tried offering less, but he would not take that either. We tried to buy both lots.
Mm-hmm. I'm just getting redneck right now. I'm going to tell him to stuff them both, but you do whatever you want to do. If you do the home equity loan and take them and pay it off real fast, it's not the end of the world financially. It's just when deals like this come at me, I sometimes do the wrong thing out of obstinance, admittedly. And so I couldn't do it for multiple reasons, just because I don't like being lied to, and I don't like being jerked around, and I really don't like it when it's freaking relatives. So, yeah, that'd be the end of that. This is The Ramsey Show. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Is there an area of your life that feels off balance and you're wondering what the right next step should be? Maybe you have uncertainty about your money or want to start prioritizing your mental health. Maybe you want to find purpose in your career or improve the health of your marriage. Whatever you're facing, it's important to do it with a community of people by your side, encouraging you along the way. And what better way to grow than with a few folks you love doing life with? You can level up and experience all of this at Smart Conference with your friends Saturday, October 22nd in Dallas. Smart Conference is a one-day event designed for you. You'll hear from world-class speakers all day long. Your favorite Ramsey personalities will be there. Plus, our good friends Craig and Amy Groeschel from Life Church are coming. And the best life changes happen when you have support, accountability, and you're around a bunch of people excited about being smart. Check it out. Start today. You can get a four-pack of event passes for only $120. That's $30 a person for a whole day of all of America's best speakers. I mean, teachers, this is an incredible, incredible event. Thanks for joining us. Victoria is with us in Pennsylvania. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Thank you, Dave. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up in your world?
Well, you see, so we just discovered you, me and my boyfriend, probably this week, and we're looking to make my emergency fund. And I have a trust fund that probably has, I'm going to say, probably about $30,000 in it. But the only issue is my mom is the, I'm going to say, like the holder of the account right now. She's not really given me access to it since I became over the age of 21. Now I'm 22. She's making it pretty difficult to access that money. So we were looking just to get it out so we can start the emergency fund.
What are the terms of the trust?
So it was originally made for schooling, but I've already had my degree, and they made me, she actually had me pay out of pocket for that whole degree because she didn't want to touch the money. So I was probably about $5,000 that I spent on schooling, but she won't let me touch any of it.
Do you have a copy of the trust?
I have the information, and I've actually been in contact with the trust, and they were just like, hey, she just has to sign this paper, and then it goes into your name, and she will not do it because she thinks I'm going to be a quote-unquote stupid kid and blow all the money.
Okay, but the terms of the trust say that it's to revert to you, controls to revert to you at 21?
Yeah, but because I was underage when it was made, she just won't sign it over.
No, stop. You're not underage now.
Right.
The terms of the trust say that the money is to be turned over to you after age 21, correct?
Yep, and she just has to sign
She doesn't have to sign anything. She doesn't have to sign anything.
Okay.
Get back in touch with the trust company and tell them you're going to contact a lawyer and sue their butts if they don't turn your money over to you.
Okay.
She's no longer a trustee of a trust that is now defunct because you turned 21.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer, but that's if you have a lawyer look at this situation, that's what they're going to tell you.
Yeah, that's going to be the next step. We were just trying to figure out if that was the right step or just trying to get her to sign it over would be the best step.
Well, I mean, best step would be that she doesn't need to sign it because of the terms of the trust. And if you've actually reviewed them, I would get in touch with the trust company and go, the terms of the trust are that it's 21, it's turned over to me. There's no signature required on her part. If you don't turn it over to me, I'm contacting legal counsel, so you need to do this right now.
Yeah.
Just threaten them and just have them send you the money, and that solves the whole thing. You call your mom up and tell her what you did.
Yeah.
She's trying to exercise control over something she no longer has control over, is what I'm saying.
Yep, especially since I moved out, she does not.
Has
like
nothing to do with moving out.
Over me.
Has nothing to do with moving out. The terms of trust don't state you have to live with her. They don't state you whether you live. They don't state where you live. They state where you're that you're 21. Period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
now, if you go do something stupid with this money, you ought to have your butt kicked.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. If you go screw this up, you ought to have your butt kicked. But that doesn't change the fact that legally you have right to this money.
Yeah.
Based on what you are telling me, if you have correct information.
Yeah, I should probably just go over the trust and specifically what it says. And if it just says 21, then they should either write me a check or
we're going to have an attorney contact them and tell them to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can call mom and say, Mom, I've retained legal counsel because you're illegally holding this. And you need to sign the paper and turn it over to me now.
Well, there you go. That's an easier answer said than done.
Yeah. Well, it is. And thus is the problem. But, yeah, that's the deal. Hey, thanks for the call. I hope that's all that information's right because I don't know your situation. But it does sound like you need legal advice once you've gone through the details of the trust if you can't get mom to release it to you and you think the trust says it's to be released to you. And based on what you're telling me, that's my advice to you. So good question. Thanks for the call. Okay, so here's the rule, Ken.
Nothing wrong with doing a trust. And it's not unusual to do a trust for a minor until they turn 21. And at 21, it's turned over to them, and sometimes it's later it's turned over to them. The mistake that was made in this situation was they appointed someone to be the trustee who did not have the intellectual power to do it. Because mom is trying to function like mother and not trustee, and it's going to get mom sued.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't you can be a mother and you can have motherly opinions, and I might even agree with her mother. Maybe Victoria doesn't need this money. Maybe she's acting out. Maybe she's immature. Maybe she's going to blow it. I already told her not to blow it, right? Just like her mom would have told her, right?
Yep.
But those instincts are different than the actual legality of a trust. A trustee is only allowed to do what the trust states.
Correct.
They're not allowed to insert their own opinion or advice into the situation unless the trust states that.
Yeah.
In which case, you have really opened up a Pandora's box of a mess.
I was curious what you thought about what we heard here. Now, I think it's fair that Victoria, I don't know that she's read the fine print, and I think she's going to, which is great. But does it strike you as odd that the trust would say to her, well, we need a signature from mom, you would think, or is this a bad assumption on my part that they know what it actually says and they were in fact telling her what is in fact true?
I truthfully have no idea why a trust company would be, unless they're just out of an abundance of caution trying to keep mama happy.
Right.
They don't want mama coming back after them too.
Right.
She's going to be pissed when this goes down.
Yeah.
So that's my guess, is they're just trying to play politics here rather than legalities, which they're going to get their tail in a crack, too.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be a problem. So the problem is when you assign a trustee, then the trustee, you know what? There is no trust company. She's the trustee.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
She must have gone to a bank account, and a banker told her this.
That's what I'm wondering, like, because that struck me as odd.
Yeah,
that
you have to do then, Victoria, is take a copy of the trust into the bank.
Right.
And show the branch manager, look, this is what it says, and every minute that you hold this, past this, you're going to be liable.
Yeah.
And just take
that's what I was wondering, because the trust is just the document that says, here's the deal that manages money.
There sometimes is a trust company, but the trust company, I mean, a trust department in a bank can act as a trustee.
Exactly.
But mama's the trustee on this.
No question. And she's mad that Victoria left the house.
Yeah.
According to Victoria. So.
Yeah. Didn't like the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shame. And all of that may be accurate. Doesn't matter, though, in this case. Well, all that matters is... So, point being, the takeaway for all of you in America is, if you're going to form a trust, be careful who you appoint as the trustee. It is a tremendous responsibility. And they can get themselves into a problem if they start inserting their own opinions into the application of the legality of the trust. This is The Ramsey Show. Personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Jake and Kelsey are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Good to have you guys. Where do you live?
Irvine, California.
All the way to Nashville, all the way across the whole stinking United States. Way to go, guys. Come in. Thank you for coming. And how much debt did you pay off?
We paid off $456,000 in 6 years.
Woo!
And $300,000 of that was in the last 3 years.
Wow. Good for you. And your range of income during that 6 years?
We started at $175,000 and we ended at $285,000.
Cool. What do y'all do for a living?
I'm a teacher and he's a physical therapist.
Okay. And so, wow, great incomes. So, what in the world? What kind of debt was this?
Student loans.
Yeah, primarily student loans. We had one car built in there, but it was all pretty much made up of student loans.
$456,000 in student loan debt for a teacher and a PT.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was foolish in the beginning, but when we were signing up for things, it was just, it'll be our problem in the future. We'll worry about it later. And then, obviously, it became our problem.
Yeah. How long you guys been married?
12 years. We actually had our anniversary on Saturday.
Oh, happy anniversary. Yes. Very good. Okay, so halfway through your marriage, 6 years ago, that student loan's just still sitting there, almost $500,000 staring at you. And you what, wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat? I mean, what happened? What in the world? What changed the direction on this?
So we grew up in Minnesota, and then we moved to California for Jake's physical therapy school. And when he was in school, we knew that we wanted to get rid of the debt somehow. We just didn't know what the plan was. And so while he was in school, we were living on the teacher's salary. And I had a long commute, and I listened to the Dave Ramsey Show on my commute. And so I asked Jake if he was interested in trying the program. And basically, the minute he got out of school, we started running. And I would say at the beginning, we were a little bit Dave-ish. And then that's when the last 3 years you saw how we picked up and really worked to pay it off.
Yeah, 100 grand a year for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You were after it. I mean, you're on beans and rice.
Absolutely.
Jake at one time was working four jobs.
Wow.
So he's an inpatient physical therapist, so he was working at four different hospitals. That became a little too much, so he scaled it back. But we sacrificed a lot of time. I didn't see him a lot. Mm-hmm. I did summer school. He worked really hard, you know, 10-hour days every weekend. I would tell people, Jake works every day. And I think they heard, Jake works a lot. It was, Jake works every day.
All day.
Yes.
A lot of days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of days in a row for 3 years there.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Wow. Powerful. Guys, there's so many times that I have sat with people or talked to people here on the air, either one. And they have a mountain of student loan debt like this. And you guys are incredible. Because that was a wee bit daunting to look up and go, I got $450,000 on a teacher and a PT's income.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither one of these are six-figure incomes usually. But the way you worked them, you turned them into that.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
Yeah, I got to ask, because just the strain on your relationship, just not seeing each other, then you're exhausted, you're working every day, as your wife said to me, what kept you going in some of those dark days?
It was definitely knowing what the future held, and kind of as the one question we figured you'd maybe ask about is one of the keys is sacrifice, and sure. We definitely made the most out of our time. On the weekends, a lot of times when I'd come home, we knew we'd maybe go to church, we'd prepare a meal, we'd eat, we'd visit with friends for a tiny bit, and we'd have maybe 1 to 2 hours together. Mm-hmm. So we really learned to cherish those 1 to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that once we got over with this, life was going to be so much better on the other side.
Yeah.
And a few months out, it certainly is.
Yeah, have you had a moment to kind of emotionally and financially and relationally exhale a little bit?
A little bit.
Has it hit you?
You know what? In a sense, it hasn't, because I'm still working some, working our way through the steps. And I actually jokingly have told Kels a couple of times, when I go to work on the weekends, it almost feels natural. Like when I'm going to work extra jobs and extra shifts, when I stay home, it actually feels more abnormal.
Kind of like, what are you doing here on the weekend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's starting to sink in. It's starting to feel real that, all the hard work that we did for these years is paying off, and our future is going to be
better. Did you have a sense of release when it was gone?
Definitely. We knew the day that it was going to be gone, and we had the loan company that we were going to call and do it, and we had cookies made with getting out of debt and stuff. And so once we made that call and once it was processed, we definitely felt the relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay, I'm going to go back to what I said a minute ago. The $450,000, almost $500,000 is daunting, because a lot of people give up right there. It's too overwhelming. I can't get there. It's hard for people to internalize the belief, the hope that they can ever get there. And you guys did it in 6 years, most of it in 3 years. What do you tell that person who says, oh, man, there's just no way. I kind of see how you guys did it, but I can't believe it for myself. You know what I'm saying?
All right. they need to definitely believe in themselves. And then, like, we're living, walking examples, a teacher and a physical therapist. And we made it work. As we said, it really comes down to dedication and hard work and definitely sacrificing and planning yourself.
I think that you have to have a goal. I don't think there was a day that we didn't talk about the debt. Every single day we talked about it, and I think that's sort of been the release now, too, is you don't have to talk about that, but you have to have that goal that you
find something else to talk about. What are you doing home, and what am I supposed to say to you? Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think that people just have to figure out, you know, what you can do, that you can work those extra jobs, that you can be willing to sacrifice. Ours was a longer journey, and I think a lot of people sometimes are shorter, and So it's just, what are you willing to give up? You know, I mean, we drive a 1998 Camry, so I mean, there's things sometimes you have to give up to get to the goal that you want at the end.
Well, it's time for you to buy a car now. I mean, you really do need to get a better car. Yeah. That one sucks. Oh my gosh.
Still works.
Yeah, I know, but you got to break loose, man. You got to be done. I don't want you to go crazy here, but go pay cash for it for sure. But oh my gosh. I mean, you have worked so hard. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all are an amazing couple.
Oh, thank you.
And you kind of look like you got a little PTSD a little bit, like you're still trying to, a little shell shock still from, you gutted it out so dramatically.
I mean, there was so many years of saying no, and we can't do this, we can't do that. And now, like you said, the release is, taking a trip to Nashville, going to visit family, doing things like that that we said no to a lot over the last several years, so. Yeah. Now we get to enjoy these things on a much grander scale.
Do you feel when you take on something this size, do you feel accomplished?
Quite, yeah.
If we did this, we could do anything?
Exactly, yeah. All along the way, Kelsey and I always tell people that once we even got towards the end, we could already feel the freedom. Mm-hmm. You talk about the peace, and it's indescribable. Even when we knew we weren't fully done, we still felt, as you mentioned, the release already. You've mentioned before, it always feels like you're giving yourself raises all along the way. And we, for the longest time, never even had to think much about money because we knew where it was always going to be going. Mm. And now we just kind of transitioned that into better ways to save it and invest it.
I think we felt the peace along the way, too. It was, at first, it was so daunting to put all those student loans and see them, but once they started going, it's like we felt like we had more money, even though every month our money went out the door, but you just felt that you had that, I think because you're giving every dollar a name and knowing where it's going.
That's good. You felt a sense of control before you were even debt-free because you actually were in control.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's going to be a cakewalk.
I hope so.
Yeah, really.
And we got a copy of the Total Money Makeover book and a Financial Peace membership as well. You guys are incredible. You're heroes. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Jake and Kelsey, Irvine, California. $456,000 paid off in 6 years, $300 in the last 3 years, making $175 to $285. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
We're debt-free.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty fun, boys and girls. This is The Ramsey Show. Scripture of the day, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. President John F. Kennedy said, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Amen. Well done. Good stuff. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, best-selling author, is my co-host today. Marsha's with us in Evansville, Indiana. Hi, Marsha. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been listening to you since April 5th of 1995, and I finally have got a question I just need your opinion on.
Okay.
Should I buy a piece of farm equipment so I can Section 179 expense it for next April's income tax?
No. Now, let's talk about why. Way you stated all of that, the only reason you're doing this is for income tax.
Yes.
Okay. No. And 179, it means you just get, the only thing about 179 is you get to write the whole thing off in 1 year. You don't have to put it on a depreciation schedule.
Correct.
Okay. So how expensive a piece of farm equipment?
Between 80 and 120.
Okay. Let's call it 100 for round numbers. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Are you in a 30% tax bracket, 35% tax bracket?
Yes, sir. No, actually, I'm in a 21. Next year, it'd be a 25, but this year it's a 21.
Okay. So you're going to write a check for $100,000 for a piece of equipment you don't need, and the actual mathematical benefit.
I didn't need it.
I'm sorry?
I wouldn't say I didn't need it.
Yeah,
I could do without it, but I would use it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. I mean, if you bought a new airplane, you'd use that too. But that's not the point. So you can 179 that as well if you're using it for business. But the point being this, okay, the $100,000 leaves your checking account, and then you take a $100,000 tax deduction. Is your income in excess of $100,000 a year?
98. Is okay. What I expect for this year, okay. Depending on the grain market.
Okay. So you would pay zero taxes on the $98,000, and it would have been around 20%, actually around 15% probably, because it's a graduated tax, income tax. It's not all the final bracket. But let's say your tax bill on the $98,000 would be $15,000.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And then if you didn't pay... If you didn't have this write-off, you pay $15,000. So you're trading $100,000 for $15,000.
Can I ask you one other thing, then?
Did that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We did not take any crop last year until January of this year. So I already know from my tax lady I will be spending $15,000 in taxes. Mm-hmm. For the 2021 crop.
Okay.
And so if I were to buy this piece of equipment and it 179 would, it, I'd save $30,000.
Okay. But you're spending 100 to save 30.
True. Yes. I agree.
I mean, if you want to trade dollars for quarters, I got a deal for you.
Well, it's like, what else do I do with the money, my stock?
Well, I'll do that deal with you. How much do you want to do? I'll do $500,000 with you if you want to do dollars for quarters.
Walk away slowly, Marcia.
So here's the thing. What's the piece of equipment?
It would be a used backhoe or a dirt mover.
Okay. All right. So here's the only reason you buy equipment in business. The only reason. It makes you more than it costs you.
Yes, I agree.
When I buy computers for this place, I can 179 them. When I buy cameras for this place, I can 179 them. And I spend a lot of money on that kind of thing every year around here. When I furnish offices, I can 179 it up to a certain limit. Okay, but I don't buy any of those things for the 179 tax write-off benefit. I take the 179 tax write-off, but I only buy them if I can make more money because of them than they cost. And you're not going to increase the quality or your income on this farm by as much as this equipment costs.
I agree.
So you're not ROIing. You're not getting a return on investment on the equipment, and you're only buying this for a tax write-off, which is trading dollars for quarters. And you don't do that. And I question whether you ever take a piece of financial advice from your idiot tax person again. This is horrible advice.
Well, it was my idea, and they agreed with me.
Okay, well. Then I won't be quite so harsh since I have you on the phone. But oh my goodness, darling. No, we don't want to trade dollars for quarters. People do this all the time in business and call it smart, and it's because usually because their tax accountant is only looking at the tax benefit of it, not at the actual economic transaction. And the economic transaction is you're handing somebody $100,000 and all you're getting for it is 30. That's not a good trade. It's not a good trade. I hate taxes more than you do, but I ain't trading a dollar for a quarter just for that. Now, I'm going to take the $179 write-off every single time on items I would have purchased because they were going to make me more than they cost me anyway.
That's correct.
And that, and I believe me, I max my $179 out every year, and Trump's tax law really helped those of us in small businesses. One of the few things a small business come along in a long time, that $179 being maxed out, like entire floors of stuff we could write off around here, instead of writing it off over 3 years or 5 years, we wrote it all off in 1 year.
So the small business person, is the fear, is the answer to that fear, oh, I'm going to get a tax bill, is it retained earnings, just juice that a little bit?
Yeah, you got to set your money aside for taxes.
Right, and so then you don't need to be so worried about it.
Yeah, so it doesn't bite you. But you just get sick of giving the government money because they're stupid.
Trust me.
I don't like giving stupid people money.
I get that.
And I look and see the size of the money they take from me so that I am a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm not a law-abiding citizen. Oh, my gosh. You know, but it's just thievery in the name of government.
Yeah.
And so I don't disagree with her in that sense. It pisses me. I don't want to do it. It just makes me, I stay mad around tax time. But I'm also not going to trade dollars for quarters in the name of keeping money out of their hand. That's just cutting off your nose to spite your face. Kathy's with us in Canada. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for talking to me today.
Sure. Right quick before we run out of time. What's your question?
Yes. Okay, I'll make it quick. I'm newly single. I have three children, 43 years old, starting from scratch. I'm getting $150,000 settlement from my ex any day, and I'm wondering, just pay off debt and start from scratch or invest it and try and build it. I'm just scared I'm starting over.
How much debt do you
again.
Have?
So I have a $28,000 car and $40,000 line of credit, plus my house.
68 plus your house. What do you owe on the house?
Yes. I owe 180. It's worth 240.
What are you going to be doing for a living?
I'm a correction officer for the federal government
and
up
you
here.
Pay your bills on that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I gross about 130 and I net about 80. So okay. I'm okay. I just wanted
child
to make
support
sure
as well or just this one cash in your
No. Yeah, we're 50-50, so none of that. I'm really nervous. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're fine. You're doing good. You're doing good. And you're helping me. You're helping me meet the clock before I run out of
That's
time
right.
here. So
there we go. There we go.
I would pay off the debts and start fresh and make sure you're living on a tight budget so you don't get yourself messed up on your new income being less than it was when it was combined.
Okay.
Be very careful to live on the 130. Off.
Yeah, I've been binging your books. I've been budgeting like crazy. So I feel like I just want to start this off on a fresh foot and not make big mistakes.
One of the things I did when I started fresh after going broke, in my case, in your case, it's a divorce. But the one of the things I did is I went back to the old debts and I said, okay, what was going on inside of my heart that allowed me to do that? I want to make sure that's healed. Uh-huh. So how did those debts? Where did those debts come from? And make sure that part's healed so they never grow back after you get rid of them. That's a good thing to look into. You go, well, it's all him. He was stupid. Okay, then that's fine. And we got rid of him, so we're okay.
It's one way of healing from it. Yep.
Ken, good show today.
Thank you, sir.
Austin, Ben, Zach, Andrew, James, and Kelly in the booth. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Did you know The Ramsey Show is one of the most popular podcasts in the world? Get your daily dose of advice on life and money. Check out all of our shows from the Ramsey Network wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.